Welcome to the Future Forward Podcast, an unusual tech dialogue brought to you by Masdar City. This season, we're exploring innovations and technologies of the future from around the world.
My name's Lucy Hedges. I'm the former technology editor for the Metro newspaper, a BBC presenter and self-confessed tech enthusiast.
And I'm Nermeen Negm, acting head of marketing and communications at Masdar City, a world-class innovation hub and a pioneering sustainable urban community in Abu Dhabi.
Now, over this series, we're going to be focusing on the cities of tomorrow, traveling across the globe to talk to the experts who are making it happen in the cities that are changing the world we live in.
So where are we heading to today, Lucy?
Okay, we are heading to Singapore, a nation and city that prides itself on its smart initiative. Now, here to tell us all about its principal program manager at Amazon Web Services, we have Ling Lei. Now, Ling is a leading expert in smart cities, urban infrastructure and institutions and public sector digital transformation. And we are very, very excited to have him on the show. And it's his birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Ling.
So please unfasten your seatbelts and welcome to the Future Forward podcast, Ling Lei. Hey, Ling.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Ling. Thank you for joining us.
No, thank you for the invitation. You know, I'm from Vietnam, but I've been living in Singapore for the past 3.5 years. So it's a great privilege to be here and speak about the countries that I now call home.
Well, I mean, let's get right into it then. Before we begin talking about technologies and in Singapore, can you give us a little introduction about what you do, about yourself, and what you're doing at Amazon Web Services?
Sure. At Amazon Web Services, I lead a global program called the Smart City Competency Program. And what it does is that it validates our partners who build smart city solutions on AWS and ensure that these are the best in class of partners so we can recommend them to our customers. This stemmed from my previous experience working with development banks where I work on financing of urban infrastructure. And we did a lot of projects on smart cities with governments across the world. And one thing that I always remember from my meetings with government officials is that they always say, well, this sounds great, but where has this been done successfully before? And this hesitation from the public sector customers, right, in terms of adopting new technology is there. It's across all different countries. And that's why we want to build this program to ensure that we can tell our customers that these are really the best in class of partners. And we have vetted them, so please adopt them with ease.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm personally really excited to speak to you because we have a long-standing relationship with AWS at Masdar City. Just to let our listeners know, in COP27 in Sharm el-Sheikh, we signed a collaboration where we will host your clean energy accelerator cohort in time for COP28 happening here in the UAE. So the cohort's going to come here and we're going to take care of their, introducing them to the ecosystem and taking care of their program. And then our relationship got even more strong by signing an MOU at Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week, which is the leading sustainability gathering globally that happens in Abu Dhabi every year, organized by Masdar. And, we signed an agreement where the Masdar City Free Zone companies get access to the Activate program for AWS credits, and they're eligible to get AWS credits. So that's all really exciting, and we love working with you guys. And I guess that kind of leads me to the first question, which is, about what a city like Singapore is doing to support the clean tech startup ecosystem. It's really important for, not only companies, but also cities to play a role. So can you give us some examples on how this is done in Singapore?
Sure. As you know, the same engagement that we have with Masdar is the same type of engagement that we do with cities globally. And obviously, in every city, there are different outfits, right, that play the similar role. But in Singapore, for example, the government has been putting in a lot of efforts, investment, and support through organizations such as the Temasek Foundation or SG Innovate, which I think you also work closely with, right?
Yeah.
Right, so these are great accelerators or identifier or supporters of the startup community, right? So for example, the Temasek Foundation, they maintain or they organize a livability challenge, which is a platform where they hunt and accelerate the development of just startups, especially in urban sustainability. And from these type of platforms, they identify really innovative and game-changing startups. For example, the startup that won the competition last year, SeaChange, has invented a technology that allow them to convert the carbon dioxide in seawater into stable solid that can then be built, can be used to build buildings, so like cements, like that type of materials, right? Yeah, and so, and the great thing about then Singapore is that how they take these startup technologies from this platform and then bring them to collaboration with organizations like the National Water Utility, so the PUB, so that they can work together and scale up this innovation. So SeaChange, the organization, and PUB is working on developing the world's first carbon extracting desalination plant. Right. So this cycle from startup, from technology to scale up, I think that's something that Singapore does very well. And we at AWS stay very close to support Singapore and other countries in this type of innovation because we see a lot of role for us to play in this. Yeah.
I'm right by saying that, you know, Singapore is pretty well known as one of the states leading the clean tech innovation in Asia. Am I right by saying that?
Definitely so. And I think a lot of it is stemming and directly aligning with their Green Plan 2030. So the government is a strong proponent and supporter of developing this innovation. And rightly so, right? Singapore as a small country without much resources. So they know that, you know, innovation is the only way forward. And so they're putting a lot of effort in that, and that's for sure. Yeah.
Yes, and I want to come back to the Green Plan, which we'll touch on a bit later. But just kind of off the back of what you just said, you know, Singapore has grown into one of the world's strongest economies and is the number one smart city in Asia. Well, that's according to the 2023 Smart City Index. But what I want to ask you is, how has Singapore managed to become such a leader in sustainable technologies? Like you say, despite being a small country with limited natural resource.
I really like your question, how you phrase it as the how. And I think a lot of times when we look at these smart cities in the world, we often ask, what are they doing in terms of smart technologies, right? And the truth is, we do know what are the trending technologies, we do know what are the top and the cutting edge innovations, but I think it's the how a country actually make it work is the key thing, and it's usually the success, the secret behind Singapore's success. Let's talk about first, what is Singapore doing in terms of the Smart Nations initiatives, right? They have three pillars in the Smart Nation initiatives. And if you look at the three, they are very, they self-reinforce. Let's start with the foundation, which is the smart government. The government's role as a as developer of infrastructure, of regulatory environment, create a conducive environment for everything else to build on. Then we talk about the second pillar, which is the smart economy. That's how the economy, the private sector, attracts more investment into the country, right? And from there, scale up these innovations that are built in Singapore. The third one, which is a smart society, built on a workforce that is very much empowered to upskill their digital skills, as well as leveraging what the government gives them in terms of support, in terms of conducive environment, and so on and so forth, to really build and innovate. So these three pillars work with each other and built into Singapore as what they are today. Obviously, when you go down into the house and you look at the key initiatives that the government are working on, it's the things like an open data culture where multiple government agencies will share data on an open platform. That is supported and balanced by a focus on cybersecurity, right? So again, looking at the role of the government in ensure that here is an open playground for everyone, but at the same time, we as the government ensure that the playground is secure and safe for everyone. At the same time, you have, I mentioned, the upskilling of digital skills for citizens, and that allows citizens to engage in an ecosystem of startups, right? So we talked about earlier in how the startup community is supported by the different accelerator and so on and so forth. But also at the same time, they have this whole city as a living lab, right? You have any technology can be easily piloted and scaled. And that is a very unique environment that you cannot find elsewhere, right? And obviously here in Singapore, the advantage of a city and a nation as one make it easier in terms of scale to try and scale up these innovations, but really it's a very unique and really a determination of the government to really make it work for them. And last but not least, the government works very closely with other countries in the region to bring the same technology to serve other countries, but at the same time to bring talents from other countries to Singapore. Right, and ensuring that this is a place where talents want to be and innovate.
Yes.
And I think a lot of it is how Singapore managed to become the world's leader in smart city development as it is today.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds really fascinating. I love the synergies that the government is creating to bring the whole society on board. And of course, Singapore's reputation speaks for itself when it comes to attracting talents from around the world. It keeps leading the way on high standards for expat living and attracting talents and securing for people a really comfortable life, but as well as realizing, startup dreams in realizing their technologies and developing their technologies and piloting them in the city.
But what does it mean to actually live in a smart city? You know, we hear about all these exciting developments, but what's it like, being there, living your day-to-day life? Kind of paint a picture for us.
I think it's important to talk about how in Singapore, 80% of the population actually live in one of the government-supported housing, and in Singapore, it's called HDB, which stands for Housing Development Board, and this is a unique model of social housing that you would probably not find in anywhere else in the world, but a very successful example of how the government has managed to provide affordable housing to a population in an economy that continue to grow, which means that the housing price continues to increase, right? So this affordable housing is the core of what is it like to be living in Singapore. If you look at the framework of what is it like to live in or how the government developed these HDBs into a smart living environment, we have a five smart framework. We'll start with the planning part. Smart planning often means that the government would actually use a lot of smart technologies in terms of simulations, in terms of ensuring that they look at different scenarios, right? So in Singapore, for example, being as an island, but directly in the tropics, it's very, very hot. So the scenarios would look at where the wind direction goes, where the heat islands are, and ensuring that the design are then in a way that will cooler the living environment for the residents, as well as capitalizing on the wind that blows in these living quarters. So that's the planning part. A second one then, in terms of smart environment, that's where the government install a lot of sensors, and the government built something called the Smart Nation Sensor Platform, where there are every sensors in the nations that is installed by the government, for air quality, but for water, are captured there, right? And both in terms of data for citizens and innovators to use, but also at the same time for citizens to see, what is the weather like today? Where is the humidity? What's the humidity level? How is the air today, right? So as a citizen, I have a full control and I'm very much aware of what is surrounding me, right?
Yeah.
The third thing is the smart estate, which is how, let's say, a management board would manage the HDB environment. In this case, the board used a lot of new technology to optimize the operation. For example, in terms of water management, they would use remote control to examine the different assets in the estate, or at the same time understand and examine the asset themselves, so they would know when they need to be maintained, right? So that's the third one, the smart estate. From the resident perspective, there are two aspects of smartness. One is smart living, so that you can control your environment, but at the same time understand your electricity use, your light use, so that you can optimize and reduce the usage. And then last but not least is the community aspect. The government used technology to understand the different perspective of the community, right? How the community, what is it like for a resident as an Indian versus as a Chinese household? How do they interact with each other? How do they use the facilities? And from there, they design programs so that everyone can equally voice their opinion of the community, and from there build a more harmonious community together. So that's the five aspects of HDB living.
Just hearing you break all of that down really is quite fascinating to hear. And obviously there are similarities there. We've kind of, you know, the way Masdar City has kind of been developed. There are other areas, I think, where Singapore's really kind of pioneering, you know, when it comes to transport. You know, I know you guys have a lot of kind of autonomous shuttles for the elderly, disabled people, students and things like that, digitizing the healthcare system. And you mentioned the Smart Nation app. There are just so many things that Singapore's really doing to prove that it's a leader in sustainability. It really is impressive to hear. So thank you, Ling.
Yeah, this reminds me of our conversation that we had with Anna, the former mayor of Stockholm. Lucy, if you remember, about also using data and using sensors to keep track and to keep the city agile to all its needs.
Yeah, very, very reminiscent. You know, it's just another great example of, you know, a country, a territory putting this at the top of its agenda, which unfortunately isn't the case for everywhere. But, you know, it's refreshing to hear, isn't it?
Yeah. Singapore is also focused on achieving carbon neutrality by 2050, which is quite similar to the UAE. The United Arab Emirates also has an initiative, which is net zero 2050. And actually, Masdar City is, you know, well on its way in constructing a few projects that are net zero energy buildings. So the whole country is kind of moving forward with this goal. Can you tell us more about what role has the government policy played in promoting sustainable technologies in particular, and how does it support the community and businesses to really take that? I think you've mentioned the Green Plan. If you can tell us more about that.
Sure. So the Green Plan is basically a whole of government goal and strategy to move forward towards the goal of net zero by 2050. The plan stopped at 2030 as a first, I guess, milestone for you to stop and take stock on where the country is. But I think here again points out to the uniqueness of Singapore in terms of both the city and the state, right? So here, when you have a plan, then the whole country is aligned to it. And here you have both the strategic directions, the government buy-in, the alignment, the funding, the programs, as well as just everything, every enabling factors that follows it, right? So I guess for the benefit of our audience, what the Green Plan does is an overarching plan for Singapore to move towards that goal of net zero by 2050. And it's underlining in multiple pillars, such as city living, which is goals towards planting more trees, ensuring that every household will be within a 10 minutes walk from a park, or increase the nature of parks land by over 50% from our 2020 benchmark. It includes targets towards energy reset. So targets such as increased solar energy deployment by fivefold by 2030, or 80% of the Singapore building will be designated as super low energy buildings by 2030. It includes targets on sustainable living. So I think we mentioned some when we talk about the HDB living environment, but things like reducing the amount of waste to landfills or reducing the household water consumption, right? So all of these different targets are very much aligned with Singapore's overarching goal of sustainability development as large. But what's the role of the government in this case? I think it's absolutely fascinating, even more so than just like any other government, because here we heard first about the government setting the plan, right? The second role I find very interesting is the government themselves being the role model in this journey. So there was an initiative called Public Sector Taking the Lead in Environmental Sustainability. It's a mouthful there, but now it's changed to greengov.sg. And the whole idea is that every civil servant in the government, every building of the government needs to be the role model in terms of aligning and working towards achieving these goals. So in terms of water consumption, in terms of energy consumption, so on and so forth.
So the government buildings are setting the benchmark for how all future developments should be modeled.
Pretty much. And they are very strong adopters of the technologies, right? So the digital twins any other technology that help you optimize energy consumption within the government building, they are very strong adopters. And you heard earlier about using the seawater carbon dioxide into building materials, right? So these are type of technologies that the government are very much willing to adopt, because they themselves want to be the leader, the model in terms of adopting this technology. Obviously, they themselves also invest a lot in R&D, right? Which is the key thing about the Singapore government. So in the past 2 years, I think new investment plan constantly been announced. For example, $220 million on R&D in circularity or water technology, $45 million in terms of green building, or $64 million in terms of city in nature, or urban sustainability type of investment. So these are really the key investment that the government continue to put in, right? So ensuring that the technology is here, starts from here and adopted here in Singapore.
Really quite fascinating just to hear how the government is really behind this. And did I read correctly that the 2022 budget, it was announced that the public sector will issue $35 billion in green bonds by 2030, to kind of fund green public sector projects.
And incredibly, a lot of money. I mean, we see from, I think, $13 billion a year alone was spent on digital transformation type of works. And this is also a fascinating part about the Smart Nation as a coordinating body, right? They managed to bring together all the different agencies in Singapore and aligning their budget, aligning their resources, and also their strategy towards a common goal of building Singapore into a smart nation. What I think is also very interesting, which we have not touched on, moving away from what the government actually invests in, is oftentimes, I think, in this pathway of digital transformation, we often find a risk of leaving people behind, right? So people who are less technologically savvy, or people who do not have access to certain facilities. And I think in this case, I particularly love the role of the government here in terms of bringing everyone on board. So the Smart Nation office bring in a lot of what they call Smart Nation ambassador, which I'm very proud to be one as well. And we all volunteer our time to teach children, teach the elderly to use technologies, to engage in, you know, different innovation challenges, or even just go around and see what are happening in Singapore, right? I think if you look at some of the frameworks of transformation, what usually fails, right? If you look at the three A's, authority, ability, and acceptance, right? Ability and authority, Singapore has done very well already, right? They have the money, they have the budget, they have the direction, so on and so forth. But really bringing everyone in with the acceptance, I think, is a very key in terms of ensuring that the whole nation moves as one, right? And in this pathway of moving towards becoming a smart nation, that, you know, everyone is there and working together to get there.
Yeah, that really is such a brilliant and admirable thing to hear, because you're right. You know, when it comes to kind of digital innovation and people kind of being more au fait with the digital world, young people and the older people do seem to be the ones that perhaps get left behind. So it's nice to know that there's this investment to make sure that everyone's on the same page. And like you say, Ling, that nobody gets left behind, because let's face it, digital transformation is moving exponentially. And I'm always saying to my friends, when it comes to, you know, the latest technology, if you don't keep up, you will get left behind. And then that's really not going to help anyone. And, you know, if we're talking about, you know, kind of a moving forward to a futuristic kind of sensor-laden smart city, you want everyone to be able to feel included. Inclusivity is, you know, is key these days, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, you've mentioned the future, Lucy, and this is really what this podcast is about, is, you know, learning from other cities on how to be future forward when it comes to deploying sustainable technologies. And so I'm quite curious to know, Ling, what do you think are the key trends and developments in sustainable technologies that Singapore is likely to be at the forefront of, or, you know, wanting to adopt or leading the way on? Can you give us some examples of how these will shape the country's economic and social landscape?
That's a very interesting question. And if you follows the news, I think one of the latest and probably most exciting news come out of Singapore is that last year, Singapore completed the world's first digital twin of an entire nation. So digital twin, if you haven't known, is a digital replica of an object, of a process, and here of an entire nation. It allows you to see from through sensors, through IoT connectors, so on and so forth, the whole model of the whole country, and where you can both monitor, manage, and or simulate different scenarios, right? So we talk about smart planning before. This is something that's particularly useful for Singapore, especially in the world of climate change, where you need to plan based on different scenarios, right? Whether it's a 1.5 degree increase or 4 degree increase in different kind of environments, what kind of challenges that you would have to deal with in terms of climate risk, right? So in this case, the digital twin models will allow you to simulate that whole impact on Singapore. And from there, you can design or manage as the current form based on the actual and potential changes in the environment based on that. So I think that's a very exciting development in Singapore. We talk a lot about digital twins at different levels, and even at the building levels, there are more and more where building managers would leverage digital twins to manage their energy consumptions, seeing where potential energy leaks are, or where they can optimize on the consumptions. And from there, trying to lower, hopefully, their consumption as much as possible. So digital twins, definitely, you know, technology innovations that has been in Singapore and will continue to play an important part. In terms of water, which is my favorite topic, in Singapore, I think they've been managed to really marry some of the key trends that we've seen before, right? Which is nature-based solutions with the new technology, right? So in the past, when we talk about nature-based solutions, for example, for a temporary retention of water. So in Singapore, if you come, you must visit Bishan Ang Mo Kio Park, which is a huge park next to one of the HDB community living area. And in, on a normal day, it looks like a park where children can run around, throw some footballs, so on and so forth. But on a rainy day where there is major floods in the system, the whole park becomes a temporary retention of water so that the water can be retained there and released into the system one later when the water downstream is released, right? So it's a perfect way of a nature-based solution that doesn't impair much of the system or doesn't require a lot of investment, right, for the system. But at the same time, when you look at, you know, new technology of water, as we talk about water asset management, remote control, remote predictive maintenance, and now with digital twins model, the use and of these technology will allow Singapore to look at desalination of the seawater and reduce a lot of the dependence on water that they are currently importing from Malaysia, right? At the same time, they're ensuring that all the nature ways in Singapore is protected, but at the same time planned along with the different species that is already in Singapore, and ensuring that these nature and natural species will be protected and coexisting harmoniously with the human, even though we continue to build and to introduce more technology into the system.
Incredible.
Some pretty amazing innovations there. Jared, just hearing you talk about the water retention system just reminds me when I was in Dubai for the expo, and the Singaporean pavilion was this incredible green hub full of, showing the city's aspirations towards sustainable future, digital ecosystem that integrates nature and architecture and technology. And just hearing you talk about how, the city is making use of all these different areas just really makes me, really hammers home just how important sustainability is to Singapore. And it's just nice to hear it in practice. It is really fascinating to just hear how these green solutions are really creating innovation and creating possibilities and solutions for the city. So yeah, thanks for sharing, Ling. Thank you.
Are you going to COP, Ling? Are we going to see you here in the UAE for COP28 happening end of November?
I can't wait. We have to
amazing. And you're definitely going to have to come and visit us at Masdar City.
And potentially look at how we continue to collaborate between our organizations to accelerate these type of startups and bring this technology all over the world, not only in our smart cities.
Thank you so much, Ling Li. It's been so insightful and so interesting to hear about all the ways Singapore is being future forward when it comes to sustainability and what you're personally doing and contributing to that.
I just really want to second that. It's always so fascinating to hear from someone who's on the front line, who's fully ingrained in working with these technologies, that is able to kind of give us kind of prime examples of how this technology really is making a future forward city. So Ling, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for the opportunity. Really, I find that there are so many technologies out there, and I think it's really podcasts like this that will help cities feel less hesitant to embrace this technology. And looking at the examples and the best practices from successful cities like Stockholm, like Singapore, so that they will be fully embracing this technology and the way forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. So everybody, you heard it from Ling. Tune in to all the different episodes on season 2 of the Future Forward podcast, in which we visit cities around the world. I cannot end this episode without giving a shout out to the very lovely and smart Charlotte West, who's our podcast producer who lives in Singapore. So thank you, Charlotte. And I think for now, tune in wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you.